and welcome to the At Peace Parents podcast. I'm Casey, and I'm here to empower you in your decision-making as a parent of a demand-avoidant child. My goal is to share insights that will generate aha moments and support your connection with your child. I'm a mom of two amazing little boys, one of whom is PDA, and I've worked with hundreds of parents just like you to teach them how to lead their child out of burnout and find the clarity, peace, and sense of community they need. Why isn't gentle parenting working for my child? So this is often a question I get when parents are exploring the possibility that their child or teen is pathologically demand avoidant, or PDA. Another term for it is pervasive drive for autonomy. So often as parents of PDAers, we start potentially experimenting with some gentle parenting, and we realize some elements about gentle parenting actually aren't working for our kid or can even be making things worse when we're doubling down on those. So today I'm going to introduce the four ways in which I view parenting and caregiving for a PDA child as different than just gentle parenting, and then additionally focus on one aspect of that, which is a question that came up in our Paradigm Shift program earlier in the week. So I wanted to share with you guys. So there are four primary aspects, even very gentle parenting, that can go against our progress with our PDA child or teen. And here they are. The first, firm and consistent boundaries, is an aspect of gentle parenting that doesn't always work with PDA children. Teaching in the moment of a behavior can activate our PDA kids. Not understanding that what we're doing is caregiving and parenting, not just parenting, is the third. And then the fourth, which I want to talk about with you guys today, is this idea that we need to have a routine and be consistent in the routine in order to create safety for our children. And PDA children often chafe, at the very least, but physiologically are experiencing nervous system activation and the perception of threat often when we're too wed to routine. So today I want to talk about routine versus rhythms, and I'm going to give you guys a story to illustrate this. Okay, so this was a very confusing point for me as a mom who is learning about neurodivergence, starting with sensory processing disorder, experimenting with more gentle approaches like time-ins instead of timeouts and, you know, sensory accommodations, etc. But a sticking point for me was I thought I needed to have a very firm, strict, consistent routine in order to create safety for my child, right? And this is especially true if your child has an autism diagnosis. This is something that is one of the first things that's recommended, right? Like a strict routine, a firm routine, a lot of the school supports or scaffolding are based around, you know, communicating the routine and sticking to it, and here's the laminated chart. So I started this way as well 4 years ago. So when my children could no longer attend school because the pandemic started and all the schools were closed here in Michigan, I, you know, went on Pinterest and I Googled how to do like homeschooling. And one of my big accomplishments was I had like this big board where I laminated the activities of the routine. And then I had two laminated caterpillars that the boys could move as we went through their routine, which I was going to maintain during the like chaos of the pandemic. At this time, we didn't really do screen time, and I was very oriented towards like, I need to have structure and routine. So I would have them sign in to school in the morning, and then we'd do a little activity in the home, and then we would go outside and play for a half an hour, even if it was snowing in Michigan in March. And my littlest one actually seemed to like the routine, whereas Cooper, who's my PDA son, would resist every single aspect of this routine. And I did not understand it. At first I thought, oh, it's the transition itself, or he's not able to understand that we're transitioning, which is the logic of supporting an autistic child, right? Of like, I need to communicate with him using accommodation so that he understands it's time to transition. But what was actually causing the avoidance or the resistance, which is actually like a flight response of the nervous system was that I was putting myself above them in a position of authority, telling them this is exactly what we need to do for these time periods. 9 to 9:30, we're going outside, right? So rather than creating a sense of stability and structure for our PDA kids, this was actually continually signaling to his subconscious brain, his survival brain, I'm in danger, right? I don't have autonomy. I don't get to choose here. And mom's putting herself in a position of authority above me where I don't have any agency, okay? So this is the root cause of the threat response with a PDAer, but at the time I did not know that that's how his brain worked, right? So I kept pushing and pushing and pushing the routine until, you know, we were having him running out the front door naked and, you know, physically fighting me and having to choose between the safety of my two children and lots of equalizing behavior and aggressive behavior, which I was just learning to understand about the root cause. Okay, so now in between that time, I reduced screen time limits, and he spent 4 months on a screen 12 hours a day. And of course, I was devastated and worried and terrified, like I know many of you are as you're making this paradigm shift. But there was a lot of experimentation, messiness, trial and error, chaos, and trauma cave for the time that my son was coming out of burnout. And then we flash forward to now, he's 9, he's out of burnout, we've reached an equilibrium, but now I want to illustrate for you the difference between a routine and a rhythm. Because even though our children need that sense of autonomy and they need that sense of novelty, it can also be very regulating to have a rhythm, okay? So I'm going to give you the example of our rhythm that emerged this past long weekend when we went to London, Ontario, Canada for a little vacation as a family for the first time in 3.5 years. So what happened? My husband and I decided to pick the most kid-friendly hotel we could find within a 3-hour drive, okay? So the place we chose had this enormous pool. It was designed for kids. There was a water slide and it was within a 20-minute drive of tubing, skiing, children's museum, etc. And it was driving, so we knew if things go off the rails, we just get in the car and we drive home. Okay, so we got there and the kids gravitated towards the pool and they gravitated towards this really kid-friendly attached restaurant. And over the course of the 5 days that we were away from home, organically, a very concrete rhythm emerged, right? So every day, they would get up whenever they got up, they would do some screen time. And then usually by 9 o'clock, they'd be like, let's go in the pool, right? And then my younger son, William, doesn't know how to swim. So we would put this huge, this huge life jacket that they had, which was actually an adult size. And he would just float around the pool. My PDA son would throw the football with me or my husband, which is his special interest, and then throw this little other ball for William, who would float away and get it and come back like he was a puppy. So then we would go to the same restaurant. They would get the same thing, whether it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It was pancakes and chicken nuggets and chocolate milk. Okay, which is awesome. But we went there 9 times to the same restaurant. They did not want to explore any other restaurants that weren't attached to the hotel and got the same exact thing every time. Okay, then we would usually go do an activity. We went skiing, we went tubing. One day we split, my older son went skiing, I took William to the children's museum. Then we would go back, do some screen time, do another trip to the pool, go back to the same restaurant, eat the same food, do a little screen time and bedtime routine, and then go to sleep, okay? So how is this different than a routine? This is different on 5 dimensions, and I'm going to explain each one to you. So the first, none of these activities were time bound, okay? There was never at 9 o'clock, we're doing this, or at noon, we're doing this, at 6, we're eating, at 8, we're sleeping. It was allowing there to be flexibility and watching how it organically, this is the second one, organically emerged from them rather than me imposing, we're going skiing at 9 a.m. and we're going to stay until 3 and we're going to do this restaurant that I want to try out, etc. So there's a lot of letting go on my part of control. Third, and this is one of the hardest parts, is both my husband and I work to bring an energy of non-attachment to what they said they wanted to do, right? So for example, we went to go skiing. Luckily, it was family weekend, so it was only $5 to rent skis, $5 Canadian to rent skis and go on the hill for my five-year-old, which was good because they only lasted an hour, right? For me growing up, when I would go skiing, we would go for the whole day because that's what you do and it's really expensive. But my husband and I had to bring a true non-attachment to the activity of like, this is an offering. And if they do it and like it, great, we'll stay for 5 hours. If they don't, we're done, right? And that's really difficult to do, especially as a parent who has an agenda, who likes to ski, who wants to ski with their kids and make memories, and who doesn't want to waste money, right? This is like a very practical, normal experience that all of us parents have. There's no shame in this, but this is where the non-attachment practice comes as an accommodation. The novelty, okay? So there was novelty within the rhythm, right? So at the restaurant, this is so cool, and I don't know why this was, but they had a robot that would like come out and serve the food. It wasn't a fancy restaurant at all, but it was called Robbie. So this added like an element of dopamine and novelty within the restaurant, and we would sit in different locations and wait to see if Robbie would come, and you know, they would get the crayons every time but do different things with them. And we started experimenting with, on the last day, that them being allowed to walk back to their room by themselves, right? 9 and 5, which feels a little uncomfortable, but giving them that autonomy also gave them like the experience of novelty within this rhythm. Okay. And then finally, the fifth part is the recognition that the rhythm can change at any time and that it probably will. So this is something that I've observed with my own son. And I observed a little bit at this visit to Canada, which is over whatever period of time, the rhythm itself or routine, even if it's chosen by the PDA child or teen, can start to present as an internal demand or the expectation that it continues. So even if it's not externally imposed, it may ultimately be dropped, right? So that also requires the non-attachment of the parent of like, okay, we're in this rhythm. I can sort of start to plan and expect, and I have my plate on the menu that I know I like, so I can sort of have some stability and certainty as a parent, but then it drops, right? So this is a common aspect that can be confusing to parents, especially if they notice there is this gravitation towards a rhythm, but they're trying to drop the idea of a routine. Or you're a parent who's been told that your autistic child needs a consistent routine, and you observe with your own two eyes that actually it seems to be activating their nervous system and making the trust and connection between you worse, okay? So this is just one of the four things that I notice as a point of confusion for parents who are sort of exploring gentle parenting, but it's not supporting their child in the way that they expect. And this is often because there's a deeper root cause like PDA going on. This is the information that I'm teaching is here for the taking. If you guys are interested in going deeper in terms of practicing and applying this information in with me, we work in a cohort of families to implement these changes. So it's easy to hear and talk about, but the hard part is actually implementing, because it brings up a lot of stuff as parents, which we're outlining here. So if that's of interest to you, you can sign up for the wait list, and that is in the link in bio. All right, my friends, it was so good to see you guys, and I'll see you next week. Thanks everyone for being here with me at the At Peace Parents podcast. This is your source for all things related to understanding, supporting, accommodating, and advocating for your PDA child. To go deeper on any of these topics, check out my course offerings and masterclasses at the website www.atpeaceparents.com. to completely transform the way you think about and relate to your child and to bring peace and stability to your home, join us for the next cohort of the Paradigm Shift program.